Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
You can find John 14 tonight. John, the 14th chapter. And we'll start there and just see where else we will go tonight. John 14. Tonight I want to talk to you about this thought about knowing the Father. Amen. You know, the world doesn't know Him. No. And, I mean, sometimes they think they do, but they don't. But we need to know Him, amen? We need to know what He is like, and it'll change a lot of things. A lot of theology, wrong theology, would be changed if people just knew the Lord. Because once you know the Lord, you know His character. Amen. And some of the things that you believe, you know that can't be right because it doesn't match His character. Paul said, if anybody preaches another Jesus to you, amen. We're still serving the same Jesus, yes. Right? Yes. Same one in the Gospels, right? Amen. He's the same one. He's the only one we've got any account of, right? Amen. So Paul said, if anybody preaches another Jesus to you or another gospel or another spirit, you're not supposed to receive that. Right. And so everything that we do, we believe, it's got to line up with the gospel that we received. Yeah. It's got to line up with the Jesus that we have accepted. Yeah. And it's got to line up with the Spirit of God who has filled us. Right. And there's a lot of things that are taught, in my opinion, they're taught as excuses for failure. We didn't receive this, we didn't get this, and therefore it's not God's will. Well, I don't ever blame failure on God. And I certainly know, and this is not unbelief, I just know man, I just know me. I'm very capable of failure without the Lord's help. And so I know that. And so I know if something doesn't go right, well, there's no need to blame in God because He's not the problem, because I serve a good Father. Amen. Matter of fact, He's so good, He said you can cast all your care over on Him, for He cares for you. Right. Amen? Amen? All of it. And so, how many know that takes a lot of faith? Because if He's got it, you don't. We used to sing an old song in Pentecost, bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. What happens is many times we bring our burdens to the Lord and then we leave, we take them back with us. But the Bible says, and this was a revelation, it's not a deep revelation maybe for you, but it was a revelation for me. When I saw that scripture where it says that casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, one day it just dawned on me. If He cares for me, that means He'll do something about it. Amen. But it really takes a lot of faith just to put it in His hands and then walk away from it and don't touch it in your thought life. Amen? And that doesn't mean you won't think about it. It just means you won't dwell on it. You won't worry about it. Amen? You know, you give it to somebody else. Amen? Now, let's go here in John chapter 14, because I want to read a few verses here where Jesus is talking to Philip and to His disciples. And He says this in verse 5 of John 14. He says, Thomas said to Him, Lord, we know not whither You go, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now, he's already said, it's a scripture that we use in funeral services a lot, and it's fine, but He talks about, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you where I am, that you may be where I'm at. Now, me, that's talking about the rapture. I'll come, I'm going and prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come and get you and bring you to where I'm at. Hallelujah. That's going to happen someday. Now, these people he's talking about, they're there. They're already there in heaven now. But he let us know there's coming a day he's going to come and get us and take us back where he's at. And then, you know, Thomas said, well, how do we get there? He said, well, I am the way. I am the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're not going in the rapture if Jesus isn't the way, the truth, and the life to us. Amen. If you had known me, verse 7, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. It'll be sufficient for us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? I've been with you all these years. Don't you know me? He that's seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Notice he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the Father. I heard Richard Roberts say that one time. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Talk about his earthly father. Anybody remember Brother Roberts? And they both, now they look quite a bit alike. Amen. But how many know, Jesus is saying that. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Notice verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I don't speak them of myself. The Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, what I do, what I say, comes from the Father. I got it from the Father. So when you see me do something, when you see me do something, you hear me say something, you're seeing the Father. You're hearing the Father. This is what the Father does. One scripture in John, it tells us that Jesus came to declare the Father to us. He came to reveal him to us. See, in the Old Testament, it tells us a lot about God. How many know that? A lot. The Psalms especially talk a lot about God and how, what he's like. But we didn't get the full picture until Jesus showed up. We read the scripture. I don't know when it was, but it's just been recently in Colossians 1:15, or I read it to you. It says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The God that we can't see, we can see by looking at Jesus. He's the image of him. Amen. You know, you see, sometimes you see family members and they look a lot alike. Amen. Phyllis has sisters that are twins. And at one time, I thought they looked a lot alike. You know, I just thought they looked a lot alike. They don't so much now. They've gotten older. They don't look alike. Like they did. They still look alike because they're twins. But, you know, I've seen twins. You know, we have a set of twins in this church, don't we, Travis? It took me a long time to tell which one is which. Because I thought they looked a lot. Now, you know, to Travis, they don't. He knows the difference. Well, okay. Maybe not every day he does. How many think they look a lot alike? I had to remember them. Wesley with glasses. Amen. It's kind of like a song, isn't it? Anyway, my brain works funny sometimes. Work with me. I don't know why I thought of that song, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, but anyway. Wesley at church with glasses. All right, but they look a lot alike. But Jesus, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, is the express image of the Father. In other words, what he did, what he said, was exactly what God would say and do. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, it's not me that's doing it. It's the Father within me that's doing it. I'm in the Father. The Father's in me. If you know, sometimes the Jews challenge him on, who is your Father? He said, well, if you'd known me, you'd known the Father. If you hate me, you hate the Father. If you love me, if you love the Father, you'd love me. Because this is what he's like. But see, they didn't like Jesus. The religious people didn't like Jesus. Which proved they didn't really like the Father. even though they claimed they did, when they saw him, they didn't like what they saw. I'm going to tell you, Jesus wasn't religious enough for them. He didn't condemn the woman caught in adultery. Now, he did tell her, go and sin no more. Don't misunderstand this statement. I'm not saying he condoned it, but he didn't condemn her. He forgave her. He gave her another shot, gave her another chance. Amen? And so, how many, that's the Father. See, some people have this picture that, you know, God's this angry God, the Father's this angry Father, but, you know, Jesus was a little bit more toned down and temperate, and we could deal with him a little better. No, they're the same. I said they're the same. Amen. Yeah, you know, I'm not saying they're the same in person. I mean, they're God. They're both God. But, you know, there was there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How many know that? And so, you know, I believe in the Trinity. So you understand that. But what I'm saying to you is, in essence, they're the same. They're the same. You know, when you've been married for years, after a while, you start, in some areas, you start thinking alike. I don't know if that's good or bad, but you do. You know, you start thinking alike. You start, you know what one another's thinking. How many know that? You know what you're thinking. I can't ever fool my wife. You know, I'll try to tease her, say something that you know that I know isn't true, but I'm trying to tease her. You know, people get all upset. Well, you know, one person said this about brother. This lady said this about Brother Hagin. She says, I just can't believe that God uses him. I just can't believe it's God using him. And somebody said, well, why? He said, because he watches football and he cuts up and jokes. How many know God is, you know, God isn't as serious as some people are. Some people need to just take a look in the mirror and find out that God's got a sense of humor. Amen. How many know God does have a sense of humor? Now, he's not, you know, he's not, what's the word I'm looking for? He's not flippant. He's not, what's the word I'm looking for? You don't know because you're not in my head. I'm looking for a word. You know, when you come from where I came from, you have to look for words. They don't just come easy. He's not foolish. I mean, you know that. But, you know, God's got a sense of humor. Amen. And he's a good God. Amen. So Jesus was, the Bible tells us that he was the express image of the Father. He was the image of the invisible God. Corinthians tells us this, that he's the image of God. There's another scripture in Corinthians. Tells us he's the image of God. In other words, if you want to see what the invisible God looks like, you look at Jesus. That's the expression. What did Jesus do? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. See, you hear these. That's why that straightens out your doctrine on some things. Just because, you know, people say, well, I don't believe healing's for today. Well, maybe God might heal. Maybe he wouldn't heal. Well, we never see any place in the Bible where Jesus refused to heal anybody. There's not one instance of that, is there? There's not one time somebody came to him and he said, it's God's will for you to have this. I mean, if there would have been, we would have seen it. He healed multitudes. John said he did so many things that if it was all written, he said, I don't suppose the world would hold the books of all the things that he did. Amen? And so he did so many things. And so we don't find, if it was the will of God, you know, for some people to remain sick, surely Jesus would have expressed that because he is the will of God. He is the image of God. He never one time did. He healed everybody. He forgave everybody, didn't he? Amen. And so that'll straighten out a lot of doctrine. How many know that? That'll straighten out a lot of people's doctrine if they just think about that, about the character and the nature of God. God is good. Amen. And so people say, what about Paul's thorn and all of that? Well, I don't have time to teach on Paul's thorn, but if you study Paul's thorn, there's no place in the Bible that says it was sickness. If you just read what Paul, and I could teach on this sometime, maybe the Lord let me. But if you just looked at what Paul talked about, he talked about persecutions. Everywhere he went, people got stirred up. Amen. I mean, you just think about it. And people say, well, I'm just like Paul. I got a thorn in the flesh. Wait a minute. He got his thorn because of the abundance of revelations. I haven't met too many people qualify for that thorn yet. Come on, say amen, somebody. I haven't met too many people that qualify for Paul's thorn. I know I don't qualify for it. So I'm not real concerned about Paul's thorn. And, you know, and then they'll say, well, Paul left somebody sick in a certain city, you know. Well, so what? That doesn't prove the will of God. A lot of people are sick in a lot of cities. Paul left people that weren't saved in certain cities. That doesn't prove it's the will of God for them to remain unsaved.
Right.
Amen. Well, didn't the Bible say that Paul said to the church at Galatia that he, I don't know why I'm off on this, but anyway, I know y'all don't really need this, but I'm preaching to the choir. Didn't Paul say to the church at Galatia that I preached to you at the beginning with infirmity of flesh? Yeah, he did say that, but he said at the beginning, so something happened. You mean Paul had to deal with it? Everybody's had to deal with it. You know, Paul was just a man. Mightily anointed, used of God, full of God's grace, man. But he was a man. He had to fight the devil like everybody else has to fight the devil. He had trials. He had tribulations. But he overcame them all. He's the one that said God always leads us into triumph in Christ. He's the one that said he always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that said that. You know, so he had to have some battles, didn't he? We know he had battles. Sometimes he was stoned. One time he was stoned and left for dead. And he got back up and went back into the city and preached. I'm thinking, don't you get a Sabbath here or something? A Sabbath leave or vacation or something? After that kind of trial, don't you get a day off? But he went back and he preached in that city. I'm thinking, boy, what a man. Amen. What a man. So, listen, Jesus is the perfect representation of the Father God. If you want to know God, look at Jesus. You want to know the Father, look at Jesus. The Bible tells us every good, every perfect gift is from above. Comes down from the Father. Amen. So all good things. Amen. People think God won't bless you with material things. I don't think He wants you to be consumed with material things. Amen. But He certainly has blessed Phyllis and I with material things. And so, you know, it's just, you know, we don't have to have them. We'll go to heaven without them. You go to heaven without being healed. How many know that? Matter of fact, you probably get there sooner. So you can, you know, some people want to just make this the bare bones minimum. God will only do the bare bones for you. He'll save you, get you out of hell, and forgive you, and that's it. From then on, you are on your own. Aren't you glad that's not our God? That's not even you as a parent, is it? You want to bless your children,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I saw a what was that thing? A little Jeep thing. I can say this because our youngest great-grandson is, well, I say he isn't old enough to get online. He probably and live stream. He probably knows how, but when you're his age, you're too busy doing other stuff. So he won't hear this. But I saw this Jeep thing. It was a miniature Jeep. And I told Fuss, I'd love to get that for him. But he's just a little too young right now. You know, a little car thing. I mean, it wasn't like one of those little battery-powered ones. This is a gas-powered one, motored one. And so it's like, well, he's only 3. He's 4. Maybe we better wait a little bit. I'll tell you what, my younger brother got his first motorcycle when he was 4 years old. Now, he was about to turn 5, but he was still 4. When mom was in the hospital, this is how this works. And dad came home with 2 motorcycles, one for me and one for my younger brother. He was so little that dad had to take the regular motorcycle seat on it, take it off, remember the banana bike seats? He had to fix one of those on the fender of the motorcycle, and then my brother could lean it up against the steps and get on it and take off. Boy, he was something else. Mom was not happy when she got home from the hospital that a 4-year-old had a motorcycle. But it all worked out. I mean, he had his issues and things he did and stuff like that, but but I wanted to buy this for him. Maybe someday I will when he gets a little older. I don't know. But I tell you what, God, you know, and he doesn't need it. How many knows? He doesn't need it, but it's just a blessing. And there's things that we don't need, but God just wants to bless us with them and be good to us. Amen? So we got to look at God with broader eyes than just some of the, sometimes the church paints him as just barely get by. Amen? And so people say, well, God will only meet your needs. No, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He'll give me the desires of my heart. And as long as those desires are godly desires, and if I'm chasing after him, how many know they will be? God's given people houses and cars and things because he loves them. He just wants to bless them. So don't cut God off. Don't let those things be the thing you focus on or that you major on, but don't cut God off either. Let him just be good to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Now look at this. In John 17, you're in 14, go to 17, John 17. We're just talking about, we know, knowing the Father. Well, one way you know the Father is by looking at Jesus, by looking at his life, looking at his ministry, looking at his words. John 17, verse 3 says, and this is eternal life, or excuse me, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So, let's talk about that a little bit. Life eternal. A lot of times we can just limit things here. When we think about everlasting life, we think about eternal life, we think about living forever. How many know everybody, saved or unsaved, is going to live forever? This is the mystery about the way God created man. He made him spirit, soul, and body. Now that body can die. But that spirit man, when the Bible talks about being dead spiritually, it's not talking about you don't exist. It means you're dead. Ephesians explains it. You have no feeling to God. You ever slept on your arm and it went dead? You said, my arm's dead. Well, you're not going to cut it off, are you? You don't really mean really dead. If it's really dead, rigor mortis is going to set in. We need to remove it, bury it. You mean it's dead to feeling. I can't feel anything. How many ever had that happen? I've had that happen, you know, just like you lost all feeling. Well, that's the way it is with a man that doesn't know God. His spirit's dead to God. It's spiritually dead. It's not that it doesn't exist. It's just dead to the things of God. It has no contact with God. But he's still going to live forever because when God made a spirit, spirit never dies. It never ceases to exist. So when you understand that, you know, you understand that then when you think about eternal life, when you really look at it in the Greek, eternal life is something more than just living forever. It's a quality of life. I tell you, W. Vines, the expository dictionary, W. Vines was a Greek guy, and he was spirit-filled, which is a good combination. He knew Greek, and he knew the Holy Ghost. And so he says this. I don't remember everything he says, but he says this, that the word here for eternal life, the word life, is the Greek word zoe, Z-O-E. And it means life in the absolute sense. Life as God has it. The life that the Father had in himself, which he gave to the Son to have in himself, which the Son gave to us to have in ourselves. That came inside of us when we got born again. Well, I didn't feel it. Well, it didn't say you'd feel it. You got to believe it. Now, I recognized I got it because everything started changing in my life. Up to that time, everything remained the same. But the moment I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, my world changed. I'm telling you, everything changed. What I drank changed. What I smoked changed. What I ingested into my body changed. I'm talking about drugs. My friends changed. Where I went changed. What I did on Friday nights changed. What I did on Saturday nights changed. What I did on Sunday changed. Everything changed. It all changed. Why? Because there was something, there was a life that was eternal came inside of me. Hallelujah. And it's still in there. Hallelujah. And so, you can have eternal life. Amen? And it's not just a time period. It's a quality of life. Job said it this way. He said, acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come. Good started coming into my life. Hallelujah. Good started coming into my life. You remember the scripture, it's in Isaiah, it's in Hosea and Isaiah. Hosea says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I remember that. Now, there's another scripture that says something similar to that, but we don't quote it as much. Isaiah 5:13 says, my people go into captivity because they have no knowledge. So we're destroyed, we go into captivity because we have no knowledge. How many know it's not talking about head knowledge? Right? This is our time now, it's a knowledge information generation. I mean, you can find out how to do anything. You can't, now let me explain this. You can't believe everything you find online. See, in our day, we used to have advertisements and people would, this was like supposed to boost your product as seen on TV. Now, how many know what as seen on TV means today? Nothing. Here's what it means. Probably a lie. Don't trust it. Is that not the truth? But see, we believed in those days, we were foolish, but we believed everything on TV was right. Right? We believe the government was right. Come on, how many are old enough to believe that? Yeah, if the government said it, we just took it as gospel. Boy, were we dumb. I said, boy, were we dumb. We know better than that today, right? There's been a lot come out. We found out a lot of the things that they told us wasn't true. Right? You know, they even told us how to eat. Didn't they? And you know, they're still doing that today, but don't believe everything. You better pray. I've lived long enough for milk to be good for you, to be bad for you, to be good for you. I've lived long enough for hot dogs to be good for you, to be bad for you, to be still bad for you. But they sure do taste good over an open fire, don't they? Praise the Lord. Thank God God put a filter in us so we can eat a little bit of that stuff. Come on, are y'all with me? But you can't believe everything that's on the internet and all that. You can't believe that. I don't even know why I was talking about that. Anybody know where I was going? But you just need to know. Oh, we're the generation of information, right? We're the generation of information. Think about it. There is more technology in your phone than sent man to the moon. Do you know that? There's more technology in your phone than what they used to go to the moon with. They weren't that far advanced when they... I mean, it seemed advanced in our days. I remember sitting there watching that, you know, watching it on black and white TV. It was a fuzzy screen. Remember, you know, one a small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Neil Armstrong, remember? How many watched that? Come on, how many would admit you're old enough? Come on, two people, three people. The rest of you are liars. Anyway... Some of you weren't born, I know. But those of you old enough, you just don't want to admit, I was there. I watched that. My grandpa went to his grave saying it didn't happen. They staged it all. No, it happened. Amen, it happened. And but the technology that they had in those days, it seemed astounding to us. But it's nothing compared to what we have today. It's nothing. And we're the information generation. But the knowledge that God's talking about, it's not talking about natural knowledge. It's not talking about that. It's talking about heart knowledge of knowing God. And it's not just talking about knowing, memorizing scriptures. It's about talking about knowing Him. See, how do you get to know somebody? You spend time with them, right? The more you spend time with them, the more you get to know. I've got friends. I know what they like and what they don't like. You know, I've got friends that don't like certain restaurants, don't like certain food and so forth. I know that. I know that about. Well, I spend enough time with them. I've got one pastor friend and his wife. They don't like Chinese food. They're un-American. I don't know what's wrong with them, but they don't like Chinese food, you know? And they know me, that I don't like huge menus. That, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't control it, but you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, 6 pages? I got to pick one thing? I want page 1 and 3 and 5. So one time, this pastor friend of mine, they're dear people, they were out in a meeting in California, and they went into an In-N-Out burger. And it has a menu, hot dog, hamburger single, hamburger double, French fries, onion rings. The wife takes a picture of it, sends it back to me, says, Pastor Pearl, here's your kind of menu. Yeah. Hallelujah. Easy to pick. But even though we are information generation, and we know, maybe we know some things, maybe we can quote some verses. We're talking about we know God, right? We hadn't just heard about Him, but we spent enough time with Him, we know Him. Remember Isaiah said, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of His understanding. Have you not known it?" See, it's a personal thing. See, I could tell you somebody is honest, and you might believe me, but the only reason you trust them is because you trust me. You don't know them. Right? So you're really operating on secondhand information. That's not good enough when it comes to God. You got to know Him. You got to know He'll keep His word. You can't just, well, I heard preacher so-and-so say God to keep His word. Well, that's good. That's pointing you in the right direction. But you got to get to know Him. Well, you know He'll keep His word to you. It can't just be, I heard brother or sister so-and-so preach it. That's good. That's a start. But you got, how many know you got to go farther than that? You got to get to know Him. You got to meditate His word yourself. One guy one time, it was actually a true story. Pastor was having a heart attack in his office. He said, I'm going to do like those faith people. I'm going to stand up and say I'm healed. He stood up and died. See, you can't do like the faith people do. You got to do like the Bible says. You got to know your God. Those that do know their God shall be strong and do great exploits, Daniel said. So you got to know your God. You got to know. It's got to become personal. Right. Amen? It can't just be secondhand. Right. Amen. Now, I've done business because people recommended people, you know? They said, well, you can trust him. Well, many times that works out. Sometimes it doesn't, but many times it works out because they were telling the truth about the person. But I didn't know it. I just took their word for it. Amen. Let's close out. Did you get something tonight? Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. We'll close with this scripture tonight. Philippians chapter 3. Just talking about knowing the Father. Man, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what the Father's like? Look at Jesus and His ministry. That's what the Father is like. And Philippians chapter 3, this is Paul. I like what he said here. In let's go to verse 8. He says, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the King James says, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Or we could say, the excellent knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. I mean, if you know Jesus, how many know you know the Father, right?
Right.
Now, interesting, the word excellency there, it also means superior. I mean, the knowledge of God is superior to all other knowledge.
Yeah, that's right.
You meet real intelligent people, but they don't have the knowledge of God. And the knowledge they have is really inferior, because what's it going to serve a man if he gains the whole world, Jesus said, and loses his soul? You meet people that's so intellectual that they think they got it all figured out. I mean, they're going to figure it if they don't. If they 15 minutes after they're dead, quicker than that actually, they're going to have some. They're going to realize they didn't know everything. Amen. And so you know, you probably got family members like that. I know Phyllis and I do. You know that they're good people. They're smart people, but they think they're wise, but they're not, because they don't have the knowledge of God. Amen. So Paul said, this is, how do you know Paul? Paul was a, you read his pedigree, I mean, he was a highly educated man. very highly educated. And I don't know how many languages he spoke. There was a guy in Pentecost years ago. His name was Donald G. I've got some of Donald G.'s books. Donald G., I think, spoke and wrote 30-some languages. I think it was like 39. I don't understand that. I'm still working on one. Y'all with me? I know a little bit of another one. I know a little bit of Spanish. Very little. Just enough to get in trouble. Amen. I know enough to tell them I don't know what you're saying. No entiendo. No habla el español. No comprendo. Burrito, taco, agua. I'm glad Pepsi's the same wherever you go. They understand that. So, you know, people say, I never would drink a Pepsi. Come with me on the foreign land. You'll drink one before you'll drink that water. You'll get something that's it's in a bottle. Look at this. For the excellency. Listen, I count all things but love. How many? His knowledge is more excellent than any knowledge you're going to get. Yes. Yet Christians don't pursue it. But it's the most excellent knowledge there is. And Paul said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them, but in the King James says dung. Some translations say rubbish, but really the word dung describes it. It's a dunghill. I count them dung that I may win Christ. How many know what dung is? It's manure. Right? So everything else in our life compared to the knowledge of God is just manure, folks. But yet a lot of Christians are chasing after the manure. How many know what, y'all know what manure is, right? Okay. How many know that dung, you know dung. How many know that's something you want as far away from you as you can get it, isn't it? If you go in the bathroom and there's dung in there, you're going to find out, all right, who did not flush the toilet? Remember the saying, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. You want it out of the house, right? This is why Paul, listen, look, I'm not adding anything to this. Paul said, I count everything else but dung. That is really what he's saying. It's dung. It's manure. All the education I have, all the degrees I have, he says, it's all manure compared to the knowledge of Christ. Amen? People think if I could just read Greek, I'd be the spiritual giant. Hey, wait a minute. If I could just read Hebrew, I'd be the spiritual giant. Hey, wait a minute. The people that could read Hebrew, speak Hebrew, knew Hebrew, didn't know the Messiah. The people that thought they knew the Old Testament, that knew the Torah, didn't know the Messiah. I think Wigglesworth had it right when he said, some people read their Bible in Greek, some people read their Bible in Hebrew, I like to read it in the Holy Ghost. I understand what he's talking about. See, I like to read it with the Spirit of God revealing it to me. How many times did Jesus have to tell the scribes and the Pharisees, have you never read? He said to Nicodemus, you're a master, you're a teacher in Israel, and you don't know these things? I mean, it's not natural knowledge we need. It's the knowledge of God. It's like what Peter got when he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did he get? Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You got that from my Father. That was revelation knowledge. Amen? I mean, sometimes we just, you know, there used to be a song, I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more. That's what we need. We need to see the light. We need to spend time with the Holy Ghost until He can reveal things to us. We need to depend on Him. But some people get so caught up in the natural things. They're chasing after dung when they can have excellency, the excellent knowledge. Amen. Hallelujah. I've been on a pursuit of it ever since I got saved. Jeremiah said this. He said, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Talking about natural wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glories glory in his. He understands and he knows me. That's what you're going to glory about. In closing this out, when you can close your Bibles if you want to. When David was getting ready to pass from this life, King David, you know, he lived a hard life. How many know that? David, he didn't live very long. David didn't make it very many years. He lived a hard life. You know, I'm telling you, people don't realize how rough this guy was. He loved God, but he was a warrior. God told him, said, you're not even going to build the tabernacle because there's too much blood on your hands. He was a fighter. Hey, I remember he killed Goliath. Remember that?
Yep.
All right. And, you know, one day the Bible says he was out to war with Israel and he became feeble in the battle. And they about got him. And they said, you're not going out with us any longer. I thought, he must have been an old man. I did some research on that one day, Pastor Chuck, and found out he was 59.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. He just lived such a hard life. And so he's getting ready to pass. He's weak. He's, you know, he's grown weak. And, you know, it's just his body just wore the thing out. And he's getting ready to pass from this life. And so his son Solomon is getting ready to take over. How many of David knew how to run a kingdom? I said, David knew how to run a kingdom. So much that God said, he's a man after my own heart. So much that when you study the scriptures, that in Jerusalem to come, in the coming world, he's going to be king. Hallelujah over it. God's given him as a shepherd over his people forever. Hallelujah. He was quite a man. I tell you, he was quite a man. But when he knows how to run a kingdom. I mean, he knew, you know, he had his mistakes, he had his problems, but he was a man's man. And when he's getting ready to pass from this life, he tells Solomon, there's a lot of things he could tell him. But what he told him was, he said, Solomon, my son, know thou the Lord. Know the Lord. Know the Lord. Because you know what David knew? Didn't matter how much he knew, how much he did, it all was because God blessed him. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
So it doesn't, you know, look, it doesn't matter how much you know or you don't know. We're not knocking education, but I'm saying if you depend on that you're seeking after the dung. Seek after the one that knows everything. God knows everything. And he can take people that aren't all that smart and exalt them and make them princes in the land. All David was a sheep herder. But God can give you wisdom, can he?
Amen.
Amen. A pastor said one time, I'll close with this. He said he had a guy in his church that got out of prison, started going to his church, you know. And the guy one day asked pastor, can I give a testimony? And, you know, you never know what's going to come out of that. You know, I don't know that he knew the guy really well. And so but he thought, well, all right, I'll let you give it. So he gets up. The pastor said he got up and he said, I was in prison. And he said, somebody gave me some of pastor's tapes on something. I forget what it was about, but gave me some of pastor's tapes. And he said, I devoured those. And he said, when I got out of prison, he said, I got me a job making $7 and something an hour. And this was years ago. And everybody started clapping. Praise the Lord. He said, wait a minute. He said, then the Lord blessed me with another job. And he said, I started making $12 an hour. Everybody starts clapping. He said, wait a minute, I'm not done. He said, then the Lord blessed me with my own business. And he said, I started making $1,000 a week. And that was good money. This was a few years back. And people started clapping. He said, wait a minute, I'm not done. He said, now I've still got my business. He said, now I'm making $30,000 a month. Well, you understand, that was a whole lot. It's still not bad today. How many like to make $30,000 a month? Sure. But, you know, and he said, he's talking about how the Lord blessed him because he got a hold of what the pastor was preaching and believed that God would bless you. And then he says, I can't read or write. He can't even read or write. He's making $30,000 a month. I don't know too many college people that are making that much. So what was the difference here? I'm not knocking college. I'm not knocking getting the education. You may need that. But I'm simply saying that God makes up things. If we just trust in Him, He can get you places you could get yourself. Pastor said to him, "So, brother, that's good, but we need to teach you to read and write, okay? You do need to learn to do that, you know. Let's put that on your bucket list. How about that? You know, help me understand that my point is not saying education is not important. My point is saying God is, if you factor in God, He can get you places you can't get yourself. You can't get yourself. Why? Well, that's just the kind of God He is. When you know Him, amen, it's like David told Solomon, know the Lord. He could have told him anything. He said, know the Lord. Why? Because no matter what I tell you, it isn't going to put you over without the Lord. Amen. You know, you can learn all kinds of things. That's good. But without the Lord, it won't work. You have to have the Lord. Amen. Brother Copeland used to call it the anointing factor. Remember, years ago, he taught on the anointing factor. Don't factor out the anointing. That anointing factor will put you over. Stand up. Did you get something tonight? I said, you get something tonight? Amen. Hey, man, we need to know the Father. Amen. If you want to know the Father, just take a look at Jesus. That's who the Father is. That's what He's like.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.